Good morning. Welcome to Turnout Radio on CIUT 89.5 FM. I'm Nicole Inika Hamilton, back to open up with you about the latest on the dance scene and the heart of what moves us. Thank you for tuning in to share time and rhythm with us. Welcome to this dance space. Wherever you're joining us from, we invite you to come in as we explore the stories that live both on and beyond the stage. Coming up on today's show, I'm thrilled to welcome Sandra Laurent, founding artistic director of Red Sky Performance, who will be sitting down with me to open up about the work of the company, storytelling, Indigenous ingenuity, and more. And now, as we enter into the space and today's conversation, consider the following. There is no greater agony than bearing an untold story inside you. Those words by Maya Angelou resonate deeply with today's guest, and we invite you to stay with us as Sandra shares her thoughts, explorations, and sacred considerations. Our full hour is coming up, so stay tuned and stay locked in right here to CIUT 89.5 FM. We're going to take a break and be right back with Sandra Laurent. Welcome back to Turnout Radio. I'm Nicole Inika Hamilton. My guest today, Sandra Laurent, is a highly accomplished arts innovator, multidisciplinary artist, and visionary leader, recognized across Canada and internationally for her exceptional work in bringing Indigenous arts to the forefront. She is the founding artistic director of Red Sky Performance, Canada's leading contemporary Indigenous performance company. Now, from 2007 to 2016, Sandra was the Director of Indigenous Arts at Banff Center for Arts and Creativity. She also recently added author to her list of accomplishments with her debut novel, She Holds Up the Stars. Among her many accolades, Sandra was also recently awarded a lifetime achievement in dance from the Governor General's Performing Arts Awards. She joins me now on the show. Welcome back to Turnout Radio. Sandra, how are you?
Great. It's a pleasure to be back, Nicole.
Well, it is such a pleasure, as always, to sit down with you. I want to take this moment to start off by saying congratulations to you. As I'd shared, the Governor General's Performing Arts Awards has announced that you are the recipient of the 2025 Lifetime Artistic Achievement Award. Congratulations.
Yes, thank you. It came as a wonderful surprise, I have to say.
Well, what does the heart of this recognition mean to you?
You know what it means? It's such a enormous vote of confidence in the work that I do, in what we're able to bring to the stages for 25 years now. So it's in that way, the recognition is really, really wonderful. And to be included in that roster of incredible individuals is very, is such an honor. You know, starting anything from the ground up is a tremendous amount of work, especially at the beginning. And so it's been an enormous labor of love. And it's just so great to see Red Sky received so well all over the world.
Well, congratulations again to you and Red Sky Performance.
Thank you, Nicole.
And as we enter into the space, Sandra, I'd like to revisit a mention that I gave at the top of the program. The great Maya Angelou has said that there is no greater agony than bearing an untold story inside of you. Share with us how those words have resonated with you.
Those words resonate with me deeply because I know what it's like to bear the feeling of untold stories inside of you, culturally, as an Indigenous person, where that had to be, that was went underground for so long. So within Canada, Indigenous stories are still untold to this day. But that there is a difference now, there's a change now with our stories coming forward. So that is, that's exciting to see. But, you know, within holding that culture, those cultural, the place of culture and who we are, and for it not to be able to be seen as something positive for so long. And when you're a child bearing those kind of stories, because you know what the story is about you as an Indigenous person, as an Indigenous kid, and you're against that every single day of your life. So I know what that feels like for sure. In terms, and then as a nation, you know, our stories, Anishinaabe, our stories were illegal to tell. Spiritual stories, our cultural stories, our anything I believe that held vitality and were empowering, such as stories, such as dance, was banned in Canada way back in the 1920s. And then there was an amendment in 1951 by the Canadian government that then said, oh, actually, yeah, it's okay, you guys can dance now, you know. But it was still, so everything was underground and being held by elders, our language, our stories, our cultural knowledge, our spiritual knowledge. People held that and held it underground for so long until probably the 1950s and 60s. And then things started to surface again. So there's those kind of stories. And, you know, the stories that we have inside of us, who we are also, and what we want to see on stages. I didn't see those kind of performances on stages when I was going to the University of Toronto, you know, and listening to CIUT FM radio at that time. You know, while I was attending U of T, I didn't. I didn't see on stages the kind of stories. What I saw on stage, the few things that I did see, were stories that were very negative, stories that were about issues. You know, that there's that Indigenous people have issues. It was all about suicide and alcoholism and stories of despair. And we know there's over 500 years of reasons why those kind of stories were surfacing. But I can't be the only stories that were told about us. There were colonial stories that we somehow ingested and started to tell ourselves, colonized stories. And that does not make for a proud nation or a proud people. So I really wanted to come in with Red Sky with a much wider scope beyond our issues and beyond being seen as a problem by mainstream, and to offer up something that was much more about the vitality and the beauty and the resilience and the hope and the push, you know, that there is within Indigenous peoples and Indigenous culture. So there, I've always felt a sense of urgency around that. There's an urgent need to tell these stories. And I still feel that after 25 years of telling these stories, you know, with wonderful collaborators, I must add, you know, for 25 years. So times are changing, which is great, but there's still a lot more to do. And stories are paramount because they carry everything. They carry our compass, our moral compass. They carry our cultural compass. They're a pathway. Stories are a pathway for all of us to show us how to live a good life, to live a decent life, to and they reflect back to us our values, our identity. I mean, everything is inside of a story. So they're very, very powerful. And the most, I think the most, the greatest way to seed a new way of thinking, a new perspective in the world, a new way of seeing things, a new way of thinking about things, is to seed this through stories for people, especially younger people, and for people to grow up with different perceptions of the world, of this planet, of nature, of Canada, of indigeneity, of Indigenous people, and all peoples, you know. So, you know, it's a pretty powerful medium.
Can you speak about how Red Sky Performance is addressing the narratives that you have shared?
Well, in a lot of ways, it's the authentic narrative. You know, people can call it a counter narrative, but then countering to mainstream narratives, yes. But then we're still responding to the mainstream by saying we're countering something, as opposed to positing and an authentic narrative, a true narrative, because the narratives have been false. And only Indigenous peoples can speak to the true narratives of who we are. It's not to be defined from the outside. Now, within the mainstream world, what we're doing is, I guess people could say those are counter narratives. So, but it is about shifting this narrative that is flawed, to and centering a narrative that is more authentic, that is more full of who we are, including the sacred part of ourselves, the spiritual part of ourselves. And in fact, I think one of the distinguishing features of Red Sky in terms of it, of my artistic vision, it is more spirit-centric in focus. It's not only human-centric. We're not only talking about human beings when we create art. I'm really interested in sort of looking at a spirit-centered focus, which means other beings in the world that are beyond human, more than human. That could be the world of trees and root systems and how they bring in oxygen and, you know, they take in carbon and exude oxygen. Like, this whole being of a tree is enormous. Same thing with land, same thing with water, same thing with the air, the wind, same thing with you know, creatures and stars, and everything is alive. It's not just humans that are alive. And I find that sometimes art just focuses on what is human. So it's a very constrained perception of life, to only focus on humans. So now we get to the place of how do we say those things in an art form and for it to make sense to an audience? How could stars, the life of a stars, be shown on stage, for example? And we have to find some sort of human story often associated with it for people to go on this journey with us. So as an example, I wanted to tell the story of a star. The stars are born, stars have a middle life, and stars die, and stars combust, and stars become other things after they die. So the way I did that then was through, a dancer showing that journey of the star. But it's very similar to a human journey in that way, that there is a birth and a death, you know. So I'm interested in finding those interesting intersections, those interesting parallels, those interesting to tell the whole web of life story, you know, the entire web of life. And the human is just one aspect of the web of life.
Which causes me to consider what it means to tell a story, mm-hmm. and the different elements of what story is. When you spoke about spirit-centered, spirit-led, as you talk about how Red Sky Performance has brought stories to the stage, what are some of the considerations? What's at the forefront of your mind?
Yeah, it's how do you tell a story differently? How do you tell a story uniquely? How does the story want to be told? Sometimes a story doesn't belong on stage. Sometimes a sacred story does not want to be on stage. So it remains in the longhouse. It remains in a sacred space. But when I'm considering stories for audiences, I of course think about how can an audience interpret this, at least at some level, and make it their own and make sense of it in some way. Which means to me then we need some sort of landmarks in telling the story, as opposed to it being completely abstract, although I love abstraction, but you need to come in and out of abstraction so people can land and understand what the story is being told, especially if we're asking them to think about the world differently, to think about land differently, to think about perception of land differently. So they need some landmarks to land. Yes, I get it. And then off we can go again to a more abstract, perhaps spiritual place. And then the audience is fine to go there as long as they know they're coming back to a place where they can understand. You know, that is key, I found, to the journey of storytelling on stage. Is that the audience, you want to incite the imagination. You don't want to tell them everything. And everybody interprets things differently anyway. But you need enough so that they can understand and then imagine the rest. They want to be part of the imagining. They don't want to be spoon-fed. You know, they don't want to be able to anticipate what is coming around the next bend. They'd like to be almost like sleuths, you know, it's like a mystery and you're going to solve what this mystery is. I find they really love that participation in their imagination.
I appreciate the fact that you shared about some stories not belonging on stage. Mm-hmm. Within that space, I think that it is a great reminder that perhaps some of those stories don't belong on stage. Because of the sacred nature of those stories. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I agree with that. I think, I mean, we have within Anishinaabe culture, we have sacred stories and we have social stories. And the social stories you can share and tell. They could be on stage, but even then you have to be mindful of certain things. And the way you tell it, as you know, just mindful and considerate and respectful, and yet push boundaries. So it's a very, really interesting navigation. And then there's sacred stories that really probably will never be on stage. They belong elsewhere, and they belong in the lodge. And I mean, we have even sacred clowns that come up in the lodge that are meant not for stage, but to amplify the moment that is happening. They come out when something is really happening, and then people start laughing and start enjoying something. But what they've done is they just brought the level up to a higher emotional level and more connected level by their presence being there as the sacred clouds, disrupting something happening in that space. So now we can take clowning traditions and put them on stage, but they would never be the sacred clouds.
Stay with us. More of Turnout Radio coming up after this. I've heard you share before that the indigenous canon is that home never leaves you.
Yeah, I wrote a novel just recently about, well, a couple of years ago now, called She Holds Up the Stars. And I was really thinking about the home and what does home and identity and culture and land and all these things mean. And one of the things that the protagonist, Miss Gobenege, learns is that, you know, the Western canon is that once you leave home, you can never return. And I would say that the indigenous canon is that home never leaves you. Because when we're talking about home, we're talking about land, we're talking about the sound of water. For me, it's the sound of water. It's the lapping of waves. It's the sound of the wind in poplar trees, especially. It's the sound of, you know, all the sonic sounds of home are part of home for me, as well as the visual, of course. It's that 1600 islands where I'm from. It's the shoreline. It's the big moon that shines on the shoreline as we go down the lake at night in a boat. You know, it's those are all aspects of home. And so home never leaves you, you know, especially when you grow up on land and you're like a babe on land, a baby on land, literally. And through osmosis, I truly believe the spirit of the land climbs right inside of you and the right inside of your being through osmosis, especially when we're just a babe with no mask or filter, just complete sort of relationship, land relationship, relationship to everything. And you carry that with you wherever you go in the world, is that connection to land, especially from being very young on land. It just seeps right inside of you. And then it really informs my vision for Red Sky. Does have an ecological sensibility to it. It's not about climate change. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about another kind of relationship of to land. And when I say land, I mean water, I mean stars, I mean the universe. That's when we talk about land as Indigenous people, we're saying basically everything, you know. So yeah. So I really believe home never leaves you, especially if you've had a right relationship to land and to home. Home's not just the house that we're grew up in.
Yes. What did the spirit of the land teach you as a young person growing up on the land?
That it speaks. Land speaks. Land listens. Land is alive. Land is sentient. Land is our mother. We say land is our real mother. As Indigenous people, we have our mother, but our real mother is Mother Earth. That's our real mother. So we're always will have a mother. And so I really, there's like a hope, there's a relationship. It's emotional. It's an emotional relationship to land. It's not, it's more intuitive, I guess. And when you're in that beautiful place as a child where you believe everything is alive, why do we have to lose that when that is actually, I think that's actually, we should never lose that. We should never lose that sense of being in relationship to land that way. It's a wonderful thing. It's highly imaginative. Yes. Let me give you an example of the kind of imagination.
Please.
So I'll give you two examples. One, I was listening, was on the island, and there sounded like these barking sound. I was in the woods. I was thinking, what are those? Why would there be dogs over there barking in the woods? There's nobody lives over there. And then suddenly out of the trees comes Canadian geese, a wedge of Canadian geese. And they flew over barking as they do, because they do kind of bark. It's a glorious sound that they have, you know, sort of barking ahead, you know, overhead. And I thought, what if we could score the flight pattern of those Canadian geese? Wouldn't that be beautiful to bring into the music of Red Sky? There's an example. Another example is, you know, being at the edge of a dock on Lake Temagami, where I'm from, and looking up at the stars and thinking, what? So the POV here is, there's Orion, there's the Big Dipper, Little Dipper, the ones that we usually know. Orion's belt, and I was thinking, why do I only know Greek and Roman stories of the night sky? It's not even our point of view from Canada. from Greece and from Italy, it would be a different point of view. The stars would look different. So that's not even our point of view. And what about the indigenous stories of the night sky, indigenous astronomy, indigenous constellations, indigenous science? I want to learn more about that. And when I look at the sky, I would like to be able to see an indigenous constellation, which is from our point of view in Canada. And so off I went researching that. But that idea came from being in Tomogamy and looking up at the night sky, you know, and then it created a whole piece, you know. So that's the kind of inspiration that land brings. You know, it's very, very inspirational. And I mean, just countless impulses that I see in nature, that where this could be told, that could be told, this could be told. And I just have no shortage of ideas for work. And a lot of it is inspired from where I'm from, you know, as is my novel, you know. So it's just another way of seeing the world, really.
Sandra Laurent has played a pivotal role in the resurgence of Indigenous culture across Canada through her works, which explore story and cultural identity, expand the Indigenous canon, and awaken a wider ecological relationship to nature. Acclaimed for her bold and inspiring multidisciplinary practice in dance, theater, live music, and multimedia, Sandra has built an extraordinary body of work over the past 25 years. Under her leadership, Red Sky Performance has toured 22 countries across 4 continents, performing at prestigious events such as the Cultural Olympiads in Vancouver and Beijing, World Expo in Shanghai, the Venice Biennale, the Kennedy Center, and Jacob's Pillow. From 2007 to 2016, Sandra served as Director of Indigenous Arts at the Banff Center for Arts and Creativity, driving the artistic and strategic vision for Indigenous-led programming across all disciplines on campus. In 2017, she partnered with the Toronto Symphony Orchestra to curate a groundbreaking, genre-defying creation that blended Indigenous electroacoustic and orchestral music with dance and film. Most recently, in 2022, Sandra became a published author with her debut young adult novel, She Holds Up the Stars, which was named one of CBC Books' best Canadian books for young adults and received the prestigious Kirkus Star Review. Several ambitious projects are in the works at Red Sky Performance, including a compelling adaptation of Sandra's novel, She Holds Up the Stars, commissioned by the Toronto Symphony Orchestra with the Vancouver Symphony Orchestra in association with TO Live. The work combines life-sized puppetry, dance, storytelling, theater, visual screen design, and orchestral music, and will receive its world premiere in Toronto in April 2026. The company is also creating and producing a new dance documentary, as well as a new dance work, which will enjoy its world premiere at Canadian Stage in 2027. Sandra, as we come to a close, what is coming up for Red Sky Performance?
One of the things that we have coming up is that we are opening, so we're going to be going to Germany in a couple weeks, and we've created this collaboration with this company in Montreal that works in the world of Cirque. So Seven Fingers and Red Sky are collaborating on this piece that's going to open this major trade expo on robotics and AI and generative AI, really, really, really cutting edge technology in Germany. So we're en route to Hanover, Germany to perform at that. And then we're opening for the Prime Minister of Canada and for some high level dignitary in Germany. And then we'll also be touring MIGUS across Canada and hopefully into the United States, you know, with the things that are happening with the United States right now, touch and go. So we'll see how that shapes up, but definitely within Canada. And She Holds Up the Stars is a new work that is going to be performed with movement at its center. We're moving into the world of life-size puppetry for this. So the horse will actually be the size of a horse, and that will be performed with the Toronto Symphony Orchestra and the Vancouver Symphony Orchestra, but here in Toronto at Roy Thompson Hall in April of 2026. So those are some highlights of what we have happening.
Wonderful. Mm-hmm. Absolutely wonderful. Well, Sandra, it's been a pleasure to be in conversation today. I always consider it a great blessing to share time and space with you. Congratulations again, and thank you for joining me on Turnout Radio.
Yes, it's always a pleasure to speak with you, Nicole. And thank you so much for having me back. Thank you.
Thank you, Sandra. This season, join Turnout Radio on April 4th and 5th, 2025, at Dance Immersion's full-length presentation of Boat Trail Retrospect. Since 2015, choreographer, dancer, artistic director, and vocal composer Rodney Desir has been exploring the Americas in search of Afro-descended cultures, including Martinique, Haiti, Brazil, Mexico, Halifax, and New Orleans. Driven by a desire and a need to transcend her origins, Rodney Desir has been immersing herself in the African cultures and rhythms of the peoples who were taken to these lands. The resulting performance piece, entitled Boat Trail Retrospect, is a conversation between the present and the past, channeled through the body of Desir, in which more than 130 testimonies collected on lands of the Americas still reside. In this award-winning interdisciplinary work, Desir transcends polyrhythmic and majestic textures and sonorities while her body is mysteriously enveloped by video projections and plural memories connecting the audience to the universe of her travels. Boat Trail Retrospect is on stage Friday, April 4th at 11 a.m. and 8 p.m. EST, and Saturday, April 5th at 8 p.m., all taking place at Harborfront Center Theater, located at 231 Queens Quay West in Toronto, Ontario. The April 4th matinee performance is co-presented by DanceWorks. Learn more about the performance at danceimmersion.ca. Today, you've been listening to the sounds of Cannonball Adderley with Autumn Leaves and John Coltrane with Blue Train. Welcome back to Turnout Radio. That was the wonderful Sandra LaRonde behind the mic today. Such a pleasure to sit down in conversation with her. Now, as we mentioned on today's broadcast, the Governor General's Performing Arts Awards, or GGPAA, has announced that Sandra is the recipient of the 2025 Lifetime Artistic Achievement in Dance Award. Recognized as Canada's highest accolade in the performing arts, the GGPAA's Lifetime Artistic Achievement honors artists for their outstanding and enduring contribution to culture in Canada and abroad. Each year, the GGPAs are presented in the five categories of stages, formerly theater, dance, classical music, popular music, and screens and voices, formerly broadcasting and film. Presented by RBC, the live award ceremony takes place on Saturday, June 14th, 2025 at 6:30 p.m. EST at Southern Hall, located at 1 Elgin Street in Ottawa. To learn more and to purchase tickets, visit nac-cna.ca. And folks, if you missed the top of today's interview, we invite you to visit turnoutradio.com, CIUT.fm, and some of your favorite podcast platforms, where this episode will soon be streaming. And while visiting turnoutradio.com, we invite you to check out our archive library, where you can find past interviews and news updates. You can also find nationwide and international listings via our resources page. To contact our production team, email us at turnoutradio.com. We'd love to connect with you. Coming up this season, Turnout Radio is on the road, heading to performances, conferences, and event venues. Follow our show via our social media platforms to stay up to date on interview footage and our nationwide travels. This brings us to a close of today's show. Thank you for tuning in. Join us again next week for more of Turnout Radio right here on CIUT 89.5 FM. I'm Nicole Inika Hamilton. I hope your week finds you turning out to dance. We'll be right back.